You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're exploring the idea of legacies on the show this week. So we went to visit a place built in part on what we leave behind, a museum. At the Museum of Modern Art in New York, curators create exhibits centered around single artists and periods of work. MoMA attracted hundreds of thousands of viewers for a retrospective on Matisse last year. They've kept the museum open 24 hours a day for popular exhibits. And on this summer day, even on a weekday morning, it's already pretty crowded. This September, MoMA is showing an exhibit of Picasso's sculptures, not a medium that's traditionally associated with Picasso. I spoke to the museum's curator and their marketing specialist about how to display and sell an artist's legacy.
I'm Kim Mitchell, Chief Communication Officer at MoMA.
I'm Ann Temkin. I'm the Marie-José and Henry Kravis Chief Curator of Painting and Sculpture here at the Museum of Modern Art. And we're in a conference room overlooking the sculpture garden.
Healthy-sized crowd already. Tell me about what it takes to curate this exhibit, particularly with an eye toward communicating a part of Picasso's legacy that maybe people aren't as familiar with.
The sculpture is particularly apt a topic for the category of legacy because
Why?
He was somebody who had a very different relationship with the sculptures than with the paintings. The paintings are what he was trained to do. He went to school to become a painter. He earned his living by selling his paintings. His paintings were made and then most often went straight to dealers, exhibitions, and so on. He didn't go to school for sculpting. He was entirely self-taught. He didn't, for the most part, send them to shows. Dealers begged him for them. He rarely said yes. So when he died, of the 700 sculptures he made, there were scores still with him at his house.
Wow. So, Kim, you all have had the phenomenally successful Matisse cutout show here. That, to my mind, brings a very readily accessible image. When you go to market something like this, do you need just a picture that a tourist on the street can identify with or that someone easily associates with Picasso?
Well, that's the fun part. We work closely with the curators and the estate to identify that key image because we do believe that a signature image will help people understand what the show is about. And our job in this case is to convey something that may be an unexpected and lesser known aspect of Picasso's career.
So what does it look like?
Well, that's what we're going to be working on this summer. There is an image on the website now that can be a little bit of a peek into what we'll be looking at. But we work, you know, collaboratively in terms of something that looks, you know, exciting and fresh and new, but that also works well on a subway poster and in a small digital ad. So there's a lot of factors to take into consideration.
When you think about sort of a headline show like this, what's the almost cost-benefit analysis for the museum in terms of how you put in your time to market and sell something, what the payoff is when you have a big marquee show that brings in lots of people? How do you kind of go through those calculations in your head?
Well, the way it works at the museum is the shows and the program come first, and the curators and the director decide what are the important shows for a moment to focus on, what are the areas of unexplored activity that might be a fresh way of looking at an artist, and then we look at the year as a whole and decide, you know, where we're going to put campaigns. But we don't do a cost-benefit analysis in the traditional sense. We're here to support the mission, and the mission is the program.
All right, Anna, I'm going to ask you, got to give me a little preview. Paint me a picture of what this stuff looks like.
Happy to give you a little preview. And it's a kind of paradoxical topic because, on the one hand, what could be more famous than Picasso?
Right.
And on the other hand, if you say to people, so, tell me what a Picasso sculpture looks like, it's really hard one of the best-loved sculptures, which has been in our sculpture garden for over half a century, is the bronze she-goat from the 1950s, which absolutely captures viewers' hearts, constant photo ops of people with the she-goat. That was something that Picasso made when he was already 70 years old.
Wow.
And there's 50 years of sculpture before that, another decade after. And the thing that characterizes the sculpture most, even more than the painting, which is kind of hard to believe, is variety. That's the one word. With his paintings, at least you always have oil on canvas. With the sculptures, he goes from working in when he was very young and still sort of a 19th century artist, bronze heads that you would actually be able to recognize that this is the face of so-and-so, and then immediately with cubism goes into using materials like wood and cardboard and sheet metal and found objects like a spoon or upholstery fringe and all sorts of things in a kind of three-dimensional collage mentality. And then every decade in his career, completely different technical approach and completely different materials. So it's almost going to feel like a group show rather than a one-person show.
Multiple Picassos.
Yeah.
I know this is a multi-year process, but ballpark it for me. How much does it cost to put on a show like this?
We don't even...
And?
I'm happy not to know.
Really? You guys don't know?
Oh, there are definitely people here who know. But not in this room.
Fair. And in terms of getting people through the doors, this is a museum where people pay to come in. Who are you targeting to come in those doors and see this show? How's that work?
We really try to make it accessible to everyone. There's an admission to come into the museum, but there's also times to come in for the, yes, for an adult. But there's discounts for students and seniors. There's free Friday nights, and there's lots of students who come in for free. And then there's members who have free admission all year long, including a special member preview for Picasso. They'll be the first ones in the door to see this show. But in terms of who we're reaching out to, we really want, you know, the widest possible audience. We want New Yorkers here, visitors to New York from around the world, from around the country. So it's a very wide reach. And that's why we have to use every channel.
When you think about the idea of legacy, is it harder to curate a show with an artist like Picasso than someone who maybe people know a little less?
I think when we're working on a show, we think this is the hardest one. So you're working with living artists. Oh, it's much harder with living artists. Oh, you're working with Picasso. Oh, Picasso is the most difficult.
I'm going to ask each of you just to sum up for me a tagline of what you want people to experience, and then give me a tagline of how you're selling it.
What I want a visitor to experience is pleasure. That's it for me. Where that pleasure comes from is different for everybody. How much one learns, how much one associates it with one's own personal experiences, you know, countless factors go into how an individual experiences a show, but it's an easy answer for me.
And for you, Kim?
I would say discover the Picasso you may not know.
Anne Temkin, Kim Mitchell, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.